is Michelle from Like a Motorcycle, and you're checking out The Grind with Stacy Steele.
You're checking out The Grind. This is Stacy Steele. Today I am bringing to you an interview with Michelle from Like a Motorcycle. We spoke over the phone last week and we have some new information for you guys regarding their recent European tour as well as their most recent release entitled High Hopes. Like a Motorcycle is a heavy four-piece punk rock band based in Halifax, Canada. What makes this band stand out among most up-and-coming rock bands is their progressive use of harmonies and intertwining vocal lines, adding layers of depth to the band's sound. Their debut LP, High Hopes, is currently available now through Groundswell Music in Canada, and you can also check them out on likeamotorcycle.com as well as shop.likeamotorcycle.com. Here's a track off High Hopes by Like a Motorcycle. This is called Hands.
I
friends, you're checking out The Grind. This is Stacy Steele, and today I'm interviewing via telephone Michelle from Like a Motorcycle, all the way from Halifax. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Tell us a little bit what you play in the band, and for those of us just tuning in and haven't heard about you guys before.
My name is Michelle. I'm the drummer and also the singer of Like a Motorcycle. Sort of a punk rock outfit from Halifax, Nova Scotia, where we all hang out and play and drink lots of beer. We're slowly trudging through. We just got back from the European tour, so we're kind of on that high, and got a few shows left for the end of the year. One really big show. We finally released the full-length album, so we're excited to do a release show in our hometown.
Yes. That's right. You released High Hopes back on September 2nd, I believe.
Yes.
And that was that your first full length after the EP?
Yeah, totally. We'd done like a few EPs, and we'd worked on this full length for almost 2 years, I think. Got it recorded pretty quickly, though, when we did the actual recording process. We were just kind of sitting on it, and, you know, with any good surprise, it's really hard to wait it out, but you gotta do it right and play on all your shit. So, yeah, it's our first full length, so we're pretty excited.
And when is your hometown show scheduled for?
The show in Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 26th of November.
Very cool.
Yeah, and we're gonna be playing with a local Michelin cover band. that's for our favorite style, and also a band from Cape Breton called Keep Through the Wrecking Crew. Definitely will bring the party for sure.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's a nice pub. It's a little pub in Halifax. I know we could have gone to like the Seahorse or like a bigger venue, but we've all done our time at Gus's because basically it's a spot where you can play no matter like the level of band you are. And we kind of owe a lot to them, so.
Mm-hmm.
Should be an interesting show.
We've even heard about Gus's Pub all the way out west as well, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, their lovely PA system that you basically
have. Yes, I've heard lots about it.
But you gotta learn. You gotta learn.
How did Like a Motorcycle make their entrance into the world? How long ago did you guys form, and sort of what brought you all together, including the additional member of KT?
5 years running, I think, in total. And Katie, I think, is about 2 years now. She was in the band.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Jill and Kim sort of got together, their old buds, and really wanted to finally do something, like start a band that would like kind of last, I guess. We've all been in bands around the city that just kind of, you know, we'd all be in like four or five bands at a time, just kind of loving it or whatever. And they approached me, basically, like, stole me from my other bands. I kind of looked at it. I was like, I don't know, I guess I'll jam with you guys, I'll see what's up. Like, you know, I'm not going to put all my eggs in that basket right away, but
mm-hmm.
So we had, like, our first jam in my dingy basement. I really enjoyed it and knew that it was going to be something better than all the other shit I had going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say anything bad about those old bands, but trying to spread yourself too thin creatively when you got like six bands on the go, but you really want to just be doing so much, and say you just kind of like start a band and get going, but the drive and all the other stuff that comes along with actually being, I guess, successful, I don't want to say I'm super successful yet, but there's a lot more to it than just getting together and starting a band and playing a show. Like, and I think the four of us are kind of learning as we go, but doing well, and Katie coming in was kind of, we needed bigger sound, we wanted to do more, because we were playing bigger stages, and sometimes when Jill would go do a solo, like, she'd have Kim on bass just to back up, and we wanted, like, more, basically, like, we wanted people's ears to bleed a little bit more, so Katie came in, and she's a firecracker, so it was definitely a needed addition, and it helped, too, because we've been three of us writing for so long, and having someone else come into the mix kind of lit the fire a little more and helped us write, I think, like, the last five or six songs that we finished writing for the album. Katie came in and sort of amped up, so.
And did she add a little bit of a different dynamic a little bit to those songs compared
to... Yeah, totally. Like, energy, for sure. show. She's the loudest, and it comes through on the album for sure.
Awesome.
Pretty like heavy stuff, but yeah, she added, like I said, a kind of fire, like just a fresh sort of freshness, I guess, to the songwriting, and the overall sound sort of changed a little bit, but like totally for the best. So that was good.
With your most recent release of High Hopes, it's had some pretty positive feedback. It was released back in September, of course, and you've released two or three singles over the course of this spring and summer, and it's a really solid album. It totally shreds. Congratulations. Could you tell us a little bit about the album and the songs and what they're about? Is there a concept behind the whole album, or do each of the songs sort of represent their own sort of theme?
I guess it's really how anyone takes it, perceives it, or like, hard to kind of really explain what they're about. We didn't really have a concept. We all kind of do writing together a lot of the time. And when it comes to the music especially, we're very collaborative on that. Kim and I do a lot of the lyrics and writing. Sometimes, like, someone will throw in a one-liner, and that'll just become, like, this hook for the song, and I think all of our emotions kind of go into each one, and, like, whether it's a line or, like, sort of, like, a vocal melody that kind of just puts you in this mood, it's, I don't know, I mean, overall, we hope that the album doesn't make you too depressed, but it's a little sad, and all the bullshit you gotta deal with, and I don't know, I'm hoping our next one will have a little more concept, but I don't know. I mean, it just kind of, that's what we wrote and how it came together.
Totally.
Again, we're definitely happy with it, and we had some great feedback. And like I said, like, it's hard to be like, song is about this and blah blah blah. It's basically, you know, when you listen to it, like, whatever you're feeling, but you know, it's mostly about, I don't know, just being sad, I guess. overall, maybe, but hopefully it's not too sad. Maybe a little bit.
I'd say it's a little heavier than your last, than Motorpool, definitely. It's definitely got a lot more drive to it, but both albums in themselves are wonderful. I like them both, but this one's definitely, you can definitely tell there's a difference, and it's super solid, and there's lots of amazing harmonies.
Gotten better at her instruments, for sure. And also, like, when we did the recording, we had a producer who actually, like, gave a shit and helped us with, like, you know, doing harmonies, like, melodies. It just was very, like, hands-on, and it's so important, because when you're in the studio and you have someone who's just like, yeah, that's great, let's do another take, and they're not really giving you any kind of feedback. They're just, like, getting paid to, like, record or engineer out or whatever, but I think that made a huge difference, too, besides, of, you know, growing up, getting older, getting more sad and better at our instruments.
Definitely.
Writing heavier shit, we definitely, you know, the engineer, the keepers helped a lot, Jamie Holt, and Albert Moonis, our studio, Game Red. Also, we recorded it in the middle of, like, this snowstorm, too, so there's all these crazy components to it, and it just... It was an experience for sure. It was our first, like, real professional studio, so...
Why did you choose Sound Park to record there? You've known them from before, is that correct?
Yeah, Katie is a really good friend with Albert, and she hooked us up with Jamie Folds, the Sound Park studio, who's won tons of ACM Hayes, and he's a super great guy. Will make you any kind of coffee you desire. He's just really good. What he does, and quick, and also he used to be in, like, this 90s, like, pop band, so he's got some crazy vocals, and he knows his shit, so, yeah, Cape Breton, also a beautiful place, and kind of getting out of the city, like, if we recorded in Halifax or something, I feel like we would have been too distracted, because we'd be like, oh, well, we're still here, so we could still work, or make some money, or, like, go out, or, you know what I mean, we sort of... almost excluded ourselves to just do that, and we got it done pretty quickly, I think, because of that.
Awesome. Were there any...
I don't know, the middle of the winter, I guess. That was kind of...
Was that the only challenge, was winter during recording, or did you have a few small challenges while you were doing it?
Mostly the winter thing. It was pretty interesting to go from, like, recording a track and then maybe going out for smoke and opening the door to this, like, blizzard. The contrast was... pretty crazy.
The wall of snow.
To drink too much coffee, Red Bull, or beer. Just, like, not an excess. Either one of those kind of flips you upside down a little bit, but just holding back a little bit on that. On the places was a bit of a challenge, but we made it through.
Awesome.
For sure.
Into the night.
Run to my roof. Do not delude me.
you would go back and change now that the album has been released? Or are you pretty happy with the result?
I'm pretty happy with the result. Yeah, we've been sitting on it for a couple of years and mixed the shit out of it and remixed it again at one point. And, I think we're just really excited to get it out and start writing new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't want to like think about going back and changing things that are, for lack of a better term, set in stone, I guess. It's recorded, it's out there, I'm happy with it. I feel like if anything I wasn't happy with, I should have thought about that before. It's too late now. But I'm definitely proud of what we've done with that album. And again, like, it's more exciting because it is our first full-length and big release, and we're just proud that we actually got our shit together to save the money and go to a real studio and everything involved with it, you know, just all came together. And we're in a good spot right now, I think, so, yeah.
You guys are signed to Groundswell Records. How was moving over to that label? How did it come about? Why did you choose Groundswell Music? And the second part of, I guess, that question would be, you guys donated some of your proceeds to the Fort Mac fires back in May, which, as an Albertan, definitely thank you so much for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell us a little bit about how, again, your relationship with Groundswell and how the donations went.
We played a showcase at Hot Music Nova Scotia Week at like 9 o'clock, and they were like, yeah, that's cool. And then we played a really late night stage at 4 a.m. where we didn't give a shit. We just got ripped and played 15 minutes and can't even remember, but we put on quite the show, and it impressed them as well. And I think that sealed the deal for us. And we also had a bunch of Germans who were interested in us too. I think that helped a bit, play it that way. And yeah, for like the Fort Mac stuff, that was, Groundswell, they're a great group of people. And when it all went down, they basically were like, you know, they asked all the bands on the roster, you know, how they felt about doing this. There were no question. It was like, yes. I mean, we wish we could have done more. Like, the show, everyone here was doing a show. So we're just like, whatever we can do. It was like 100% of the proceeds, or I think album sales and merch sales or whatever, from all of the bands on the roster. And it was, you know, no question, obviously.
Wonderful.
As much as we could do as musicians, you know.
Definitely.
But,
did you know anybody affected personally through friends, family, or musicians?
Not really. Some old friends from high school I saw via the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Gotten out of there and whatnot. I do have some family in Calgary, but not anyone personally, but you can definitely feel the vibe here and the concern and you know, dead reach and people kind of doing what they could from a distance.
Awesome.
More or less, but yeah.
That's good karma.
I think so, yeah.
As you said earlier, you recently finished a tour over in Europe. Was that the first time you guys toured over there?
Yeah, it was nuts. it was pretty crazy. We played a few showcases for this German festival called Reeperbahn, and then we just trained over to Poland and did another show over in Warsaw. And just none of us had been overseas, so on top of going there to play music and doing this amazing thing, we also, you know, all went on a trip basically to a foreign country and had a crazy experience. And we played some sold out shows and we are doing pretty good in Germany. So that's nice and reassuring. But it was a lot to take in. You can buy beer in the street and you can take it on the street. It was nuts. It was a lot of meeting people and sort of rubbernecking, looking everywhere. it was amazing. We're actually heading back there in January to do an actual tour. We hung out in Hamburg the whole time and did three shows. But in January, we're gonna do a tour of Germany and play a few different cities. So we're really looking forward to that. Just kind of like driving around the country mostly instead of staying in a city.
Definitely. Do you hope to like learn new things and take that back with you when you go back in January and avoid our lovely Canadian winter?
I'm hoping, yeah. I don't know what you're like over there. Apparently they don't get so much snow. in certain parts of Germany, so...
It's more mild for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just waiting. It's already getting cold here. It's just the wind. I hate the wind so much. But, yeah, I'm hoping that we can start touring to really warm places in the winter. And then come back for the summer in America.
Excellent. Great Escape.
I never dream I've no escape. I take amphetamine, keeps me awake, but it traps me in, so I drink for fear.
I think too much
and I'm already late for the greatest game.
What else do you guys have lined up into the winter after this year is over and after the spring, early spring tour, I guess, in Germany?
We only have a few shows left of the year. Playing Music in Squish Week next weekend, and we are playing our CD release, and there's something else. Oh, we're playing the Capitol in Fredericton, and I think that's it for the rest of the year. Then we've got the big tour planned for January, and after that, I'm not really sure. We're going to start getting back to writing. Because we've been touring so much in the last couple of months, but we just haven't had that much time to just jam.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of missed that a lot when we were just, bumming around doing weekend shows and whatnot. So mm-hmm. we had a jam earlier today, and it was really good. It was different, though, because we hadn't done it in a while. So, but we really want to start working on the next album, for sure. Been too long since the recording of the last one, and we're just kind of itching to show everyone, you know, what the next big one's going to be.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I just have a few more questions. You guys have shared the stage with some amazing bands, like Against Me, Propagandy, Mets, the Pack AD, Motor League, and they were just here the other day, Cancer Bats.
Yeah.
That's just to name a few, and that's pretty awesome. What is one show that you performed that stands out for you, and what show stands out for you as a fan that you've been to?
Definitely had some really cool opportunities. Those big bills are crazy. Just like the size of venues. And you play at this place called the Olympic Hall when you play for Against Me. And for me, like, that was one of our biggest shows to date at the time. And it was pretty crazy. Just like doing a sound check as a drummer too, and then you like hit the bass drum and it just is thunder through this massive like hoist. It just kind of blows you away and makes you think of the bigger next steps, like arenas and stuff. But so, I mean, Against Me was definitely a highlight because it was like the first of the big shows we were starting to play. And just like having that much power to make that noise and like put it out there, it's pretty amazing. And as a fan, Cancer Bats are pretty wild. That was a cool little show at the Seahorse. But also Against Me too. I didn't listen to Against Me that much growing up, but Katie was a huge fan, and we had been listening to them leading up to the show, and it was really wicked to see them perform. Lord Jane Grace fucking killed it, and so overall, I mean, on top of that being on such a high from that being this first big show we played with this band who's like, you know, touring the world and like is really big right now, and to be like, you know, we share the stage with them, like, that's really crazy. So yeah, I guess that show, all in all, was pretty epic.
What are some influences outside of music that inspire you to grow as a musician? Do you take any literary influences with you? Movies?
Movies and stuff? I don't know. I mean, I guess the world inspires me. I don't know. I really like, I don't know, I like music. I like old stuff. I like musicals too, which is kind of funny. I'm a big fan. I don't know, just the stuff around me, just living in Halifax and the music scene and just life, I guess. Whatever, you know, they say, write what you know. And you kind of live in it, so that's what we do. That's what I do.
That's awesome. Any last minute advice or anything to add to the end of our interview, Michelle?
As far as being a musician, don't be a dick, you know, that's straight up. respect people, other musicians. And one key thing that I've learned as a drummer, knowing how to set up and take down your drum kit in record time means so much to some people. So, yeah, really just that, I guess. That's it, that's all.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate the call.
No problem. For everything Like a Motorcycle, you can check out Like a Motorcycle at likeamotorcycle.com, Facebook and Twitter at Like a Motorcycle, and you guys have Bandcamp and other places lurking on the internet.
Yes. Check us out on Instagram too. We put some pretty ridiculous stuff up on there.
Oh yeah, I follow you guys. It's pretty awesome.
We do a thing on Tuesdays as far as influences go back to musically. We all get together and fill up a June Day Tuesday where we put an album that we've either been listening to or inspired by, but we try and do that weekly because I find that's like the number one question during interviews. What are your musical influences? Go to Instagram. Figure it out. But yeah, check us out on all the social medias.
Punk One.